large majority of millennial employees in government like their jobs. 86% of employees born in the 1980s say their work's important. In the latest Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, it's the first slice of data we're getting from the new Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. Tom Shoups, editor-in-chief at Government Executive Magazine, he says that's good news. The bad news is millennials are far more likely than older employees to leave the federal government because of a lack of leadership opportunities. Tom, your colleague Kelly Lunny writing about these numbers, and my colleague Emily Kopp writing about them on federalnewsradio.com as well. And I understand the take that somebody's going to come into government, only work there 3-5 years or whatever is bad news, but I'm not sure it's that terrible. And I'm also not sure anybody's going to be tremendously surprised by it. Do you think so?
No, I think that on the one hand, you don't want people coming in and saying, I don't want to be here and I'm going to get out of here as soon as I can, which is one way to look at that number. But another way to look at it is that people are coming in, looking at opportunities and saying, hey, I'm not going to stay here my whole life. I'm going to pursue other opportunities and then maybe someday come back into government and use the skills I've developed elsewhere. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. You don't want to attract just lifers, you know, just people who say, I'm here for the duration and I'm going to make a whole career out of working in government. That's the traditional path. But for today, this day and age, it's not necessarily the best path.
It's certainly not realistic. I mean, there's no research that I've ever seen on millennials in government, out of government, whatever, that indicates that they have any interest in doing it that way anymore.
Yeah, I think by and large, that's what the surveys show. The thing is, I think some of them do. But then you're talking about people who maybe don't have as much ambition or drive, and that's not the demographic you really want to attract.
No, those are the people that you wish would move on at some point. The numbers that we're seeing, one of the things that struck me is that they're very consistent. I mean, most of these positions that these folks are taking are the results are in the 60s, 70s, 80%. I mean, I had a pollster once tell me you can get 20% of the people in anything they do to hate just about anything you can think of, from Mother Teresa on down to any good thing that you can imagine. So the idea that some of these numbers are so high really indicates that this group of people does think a lot alike and that they're not kidding about collaboration, because they're apparently collaborating on the way they think about stuff, too.
Well, yeah, and I think the numbers are really positive in terms of the value they place on the work that they do and how it relates to their agency's mission and goals and priorities. I mean, 80% of people saying that, and 83% saying that their supervisors treat them with respect. That's good news, I think, in terms of the way government is run and managed and how people view working in it. So I think the number that really kind of sticks out to me as being on the negative side is 1/3 only saying their agencies valued creativity and innovation. That's a real issue if 2/3 of people are saying, you know, this is not a place where I see a lot of innovation going on. That may be driving people to say, I want to pursue other opportunities, and that may be driving them away, and they may never come back.
That is troublesome, I agree. I'm going to go to the next sentence in your colleague Kelly's story, though, for the number that I thought was most critical here. She writes, 34% of those feds age 33 and younger reported being happy with their opportunities to climb the government career ladder. And when I turn that around, I get 66% not happy with their opportunities to climb the government career ladder. You and I have spoken on a number of occasions about the retirement wave that never happened and now does not appear to be happening. I went back and looked another story last week at the retirement numbers for the past year and a half or 2 years. Every single month, with maybe one or two exceptions, the number of people who actually filed for retirement benefits was lower than OPM expected. And the numbers are pretty consistent year to year, and as to how they look every month. January is always the heaviest month. February is usually the second one, and then things kind of flatten out for the remainder of the year. Mm-hmm. And so that part of the pattern is staying the same, and the numbers are staying pretty consistent too, despite a shutdown, despite sequestration furloughs, despite a 3-year pay freeze. People don't seem to be in any hurry to leave, Tom, and that is not hard to it's not hard to understand then why two-thirds of younger people would say, I don't see much of a path upward if I want to climb my agency's ladder.
Yeah, I think that's generally right, that there was no retirement tsunami. There's not going to be a retirement tsunami. There are going to be a lot of people who retire because you look at the demographics and they can't just go on working forever. But it's going to take place and is taking place over a pretty long period of time, which is, you know, presents agencies with an opportunity. It means it doesn't create an emergency for them that they have to manage a huge exodus of people. But at the same time, I think one of the underrated factors that you pointed to is that there are a lot of people in government, some who've been working for a number of years and some who are relatively new, who look and see it's clogged at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunities to advance are not what I wish they were. And that's sort of, you know, the problem that people don't talk about that much in government.
Yeah, and I don't, and I think that, I think we're going to have to start to talk about that, Tom, because I don't know how you address it, because you have people with a lot of experience who are very valuable. I'm not suggesting that the people at the top are, you know, somebody are the kinds of folks that we should just say, okay, well, you've done your time, now get out. These are people that have tremendous experience and have tremendously valuable bodies of knowledge about how their agencies operate and how things get done and so on. But at the same time, we're inadvertently, it seems, creating its the same kind of trough that we had in the 90s, when you had a whole bunch of people who were really young and a whole bunch of people who were real veterans and not much in between. And I could see us being back in that same boat in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, I think it is a very genuine risk for government that will create this situation where there's just a long time between opportunities and people get sort of burned out. And a lot of the focus is on preserving institutional memory and making sure that, you know, all kinds of knowledge doesn't walk out the door at once. And those are genuine concerns, but steps have been taken to address that. Now we have phased retirement in place so that if agencies are seeing too many experienced people go, they can encourage some of them to stay part-time. So there have been steps taken to address that. There have been fewer steps taken other than, you know, some that OPM has done lately in terms of recruiting millennials and providing opportunities for other people to advance. But that's where government's going to have to put a lot of emphasis. And I think there's, you know, on the plus side, people are worried about what will happen. I think there's actually a lot of creativity being bottled up in government now, a lot of people waiting for their opportunity to make a mark. And when they get that opportunity, they may do very interesting things. Now, of course, the context is, over the past several years, of very tight budgets that look to be stretching out for the foreseeable future. So that's always going to limit what government can do, and there doesn't seem to be nearly the same kind of limits on what government wants to do or what people expect government to do, and that's going to create a problem.
Tom Shoups, editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine, and Kelly points out a couple of things in this story that I don't know if they're instructive necessarily, but I think they're interesting and noteworthy. 8 out of 10 millennials work outside D.C., like the rest of the federal government. The Departments of Agriculture, Interior, and Veterans Affairs boasted the greatest proportion of millennials among agencies. Any message there, or is that just a data point that's interesting to know, do you think?
I think part of the thing is those are big departments, and they're spread out all over the country. So I think they're more likely to attract people of all ages and stripes, so I don't think it's too surprising there. The 8 out of 10 outside of D.C., that's just something that people don't generally realize about the federal government, is that the bulk of its work is not done in Washington, but done all over the country. That's just, not a lot of people understand that dynamic.
Idaho, Minnesota, Montana, and Wyoming, Big Sky country, employed the greatest number of young feds among the states. There's not terrible places to be young and working for the federal government, I guess.
No, I think there's a lot of interesting opportunities there. And, of course, Minnesota always leads the way in these things.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you're a Minnesota guy.
Yes.
Vikings fan?
Yes, unfortunately.
Such as it is. Well,
yes.
I'll commiserate with you then and wish you a good weekend, except for Sunday afternoon.
All right, that sounds great.